We're going to start from the Mishnah on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, very timely Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah Shehaya Yarei Shema Tisaver, Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Eruvin V'Omer, Eruvi Barishon LaMizrach Uvesheni LaMarav, Barishon LaMarav Uvesheni LaMizrach, Eruvi Barishon Uvesheni Kivnei Iri, Eruvi Basheni Uvarishon Kivnei Iri V'lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. Comes the Mishnah, quoting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say you have a scenario where you're concerned that Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days. Now, we know that, of course, today, Basman Hazeh, we always observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. But back then, Rosh Hashanah was like any other first of the month, meaning if Adam were to come and testify that it was the new month on time before a certain point in the day, then you would only observe 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. If the Adim did not come on time, then you would observe 2 days, the same way that you would for any other Rosh Chodesh. The only difference between what could have happened then and what happens now is that we observe Rosh Hashanah on Aleph and Beis Tishrei, whereas then, if Adim were not to come on time, Elul would become a 30-day month. And in the way that our calendars are set up, Elul can only ever be 29 days. Elul can never be 30 days. So it's not the exact same scenario, but it's conceptually similar. So imagine, you have, again, obviously no one really ever knew if Rosh Hashanah was going to be 1 or 2 days until a certain point in the day passed. So let's say a person had a concern that the Edom were not going to come on time, and that Rosh Hashanah would in fact be 2 days. So the Mishnah presents a machlokas about whether, again, very similar to what we talked about yesterday, can you set up two separate Erev Tchumens for each day of Rosh Hashanah? Say that for the first day it goes to the west, for the next day it goes to the east, the first day it goes to the north, and the next day it goes to the south, etc. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can do that, but the Chachamim, we'll see in the Gemara that the Chachamim here is actually referring to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says no, that doesn't work. Then the Mishnah has another case. The Odama Rabbi Huda, Masna Adam al Hakalkala Biyantif Rishon, Va'ochla Besheni. The Mishnah has another type of a halacha that relates to this, which is, let's say I have a basket of produce, which is Tevel, and I want to separate Trumos and Maestros. Now we know, as we mentioned this many times before, there's an Isra Durabanan to separate Trumos and Maestros on Shabbos and Yantif. So a person cannot make any sort of a stipulation to say, I'm going to separate Trumos and Maestros on Yantif. But because we know fundamentally that whenever we observe Yantif Sheni, and even theoretically in the case of Rosh Hashanah, where again, as we pointed out, in theory, today everyone observes 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but in theory, it should be like any other 2 day Yantif, or like 2 day Rosh Chodesh, as we mentioned. So a person can make the following stipulation. They can say, let's say today is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you have a basket full of Tevel. So you say as follows, again, the Gemara is gonna flesh this out in a second, that you say, if today is really Yantif and tomorrow is a Yom Chol, then my statement today is meaningless. And the next day, you make the same thing. You say, if today is Yantif and yesterday was the Yom Chol, then my statement today is meaningless. And my statement yesterday that considers the produce to be separated as Truma and Meiser will be effective. Okay? And then the Mishnah has a third halacha. V'chein beitza shenolda barishon teyacha b'sheni v'lo hodu lo chacham. Again, this halacha we briefly mentioned yesterday as well, which is regarding the halacha of a beitza shenolda, right? If an egg was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so according to Rabbi Huda, you're allowed to eat it on the second day, and the Chachamim, who again we'll see in the Gemara, refers to Rabbi Yossi, disagrees with this as well. Now the Mishnah has another halacha, which is actually related to Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus Omer, Ha'over lefnei hateva biyantiv shal Rosh Hashanah Omer, Hachlitzenu Hashem Elokeinu es yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazem hayomim l'machar, u'lemachar v'omer im hayomim emesh, v'lo hodu lo chacham. And there was a machlokes about the proper formulation of the words that you say during davening on Rosh Hashanah. According to Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus, if a person is davening for the Amud on Rosh Hashanah, so on the first day, they say something like, Hashem should strengthen us on this Rosh Chodesh, whether it's today or tomorrow. And on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he should change that formulation to say, if it's today or yesterday. Again, we don't say any of this. We don't even say these words in davening on Rosh Hashanah Bichlal. But again, the point is that whether we look at Rosh Hashanah basically as two distinct days, or as basically we colloquially call a Yom Arichta, one long day. Again, we'll see in the Gemara in a second what the ramification of these statements are. So the Gemara just wants to know, first of all, Man lo hodulo, who is this opinion in the Mishnah that is consistently disagreeing with Rabbi Huda? So Amar Rav, Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi. How do we know that? Desanya, Chacham, the Gemara says Desanya, Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer b'Rosh Hashanah Shehaya Yarei Shema Tesaber, Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Erevin v'Omer Eruvi Barishon l'Mizrach u'Vesheni l'Marav, Barishon l'Marav u'Vesheni l'Mizrach, Eruvi Barishon u'Vesheni Kivnei Iri, Eruvi Vesheni Barishon Kivnei Iri, Rabbi Yossi Oser. So you see that the Chachamim fundamentally agree with Rabbi Huda. They also say that you can basically make two separate Erev Tchumens for each day of Rosh Hashanah. It was only Rabbi Yossi who thought that was not a viable option. So the Gemara says, Amar Lehen Rabbi Yossi, Yatem Modem Shembo Edim and Haminchu Lamala Shenoagin Oso Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh. So Rabbi Yossi is now trying to defend his position. Rabbi Yossi turns to the Chachamim, turns to Rabbi Yehuda, and says, "Wouldn't you agree with me that if Edim were to come to Bezdin, they were to come to Bezdin after a certain point in the day, that you would have to treat both days, both today and tomorrow, as having Kedusha? Now, if you're going to view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as what we call a Yom Ha'arichta, then Rabbi Yossi says it makes no sense that I should be allowed to make two separate Erev Tumens. It's like one long day, the same way we mentioned yesterday, that everyone agrees you can't make an Erev Tumen in, you know, to the north for the first half of Shabbos and the south for the second half. Everyone agrees that that's not a viable option. So what's the difference?" Rabbi Yossi says, if you think Rosh Hashanah is really a Yom Ha'arichta, why would you think that I can make separate Erev Tumens for separate days of Rosh Hashanah? So how would the Rabbanah respond to that? Rabbanah, no, Hasam Kihichid Lo Zalzulei Bei. The Rabbanah would say that, no, the Mida Oraisa, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, are completely separate. They have nothing to do with each other. So how come all of a sudden we're so concerned about, you know, or in other words, why are we allowing this? The concern was, the fear was, that, you know, there was going to be a chashad that people are, you know, let's say the following year we're going to come to degrade the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. Because let's say, for example, let's say this year the Edim came late, so we observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but then maybe the next year the Edim will come on time and only observe 1 day, so the guy may not take it so seriously. So in other words, the Chachamim are basically saying that you're right. Fundamentally, they agree with Rabbi Yossi that Rosh Hashanah is really a Yom Ha'arichta. So if that's the case, how could they possibly allow you to set up two, you know, separate Erev Tumens on two separate days if it's really just one big day of Kedusha? The answer is because they wanted to reinforce the idea that each of those days is chashuv by themselves, so that if in the future, if in the following year, Edom were to come on time and you only had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, people wouldn't just, you know, kind of throw it out and say, oh, it's not a big deal because last year we didn't really observe that day, it wasn't a real day of Rosh Hashanah. So in order to prevent that possibility of people degrading or not taking Rosh Hashanah seriously, Chazal said that we're gonna allow you to make Erev Tumens on two separate days to reinforce the fact that each day has its own unique Kedusha. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, "Va'od Amar Rabbi Huda." We mentioned the halacha regarding a basket full of produce, which is tevel. If a person wants to separate trumos and maestros, and again, it's let's say 2 days of Rosh Hashanah or 2 days of Yontif, you have to figure out exactly how to make that stipulation. So the Gemara points out utzricha. We need all three of these cases. Remember, the Mishnah spoke about a case of setting up separate Erev Tumens for each day of Rosh Hashanah, separating trumos and maestros from your tevel, and also the case of beitza shenolda biyontif. So what? Why does the Mishnah have to mention all three of these cases? The iashmin on Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, when it comes to setting up an Erev Tchumen for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, if you think about it, you're not really doing anything on Rosh Hashanah itself. The Erev Tchumen is established beforehand, and then it goes into effect by itself once Rosh Hashanah begins. So one could have argued that maybe in that case, because you're not really doing anything on Yontif itself, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would have theoretically conceded that would be mutter to do, to make a separate Erev Tchumen for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Whereas, when it comes to separating trumos and maestros from my produce, so again, even though I'm only making a stipulation, I'm not really physically removing it, but it still looks like I'm fixing up my tevel, I'm making my tevel usable and basically edible halakhically now, so one could have argued that that's a problem. And then on the other hand, the Gemara says, v'iyash mu'inan hani tarte mishum deleka lemigzar alayu, avo beitza di'ika lemigzar ba mishum peros hanoshin mishum mashkin shazavu imamod delehula rabbanan tzricha. And then the Gemara also points out that one might have argued that when it comes to setting up the Erev Tchumen on both days of Rosh Hashanah, or the case of taking off the trumos and maestros from the tevel, there is no reason for Chazal to come along and make zeros derabanan forbidding those activities. There's nothing intrinsically wrong that could occur from doing those things. In contrast, when it comes to a beitza shenolda, these are sugyas that appear in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, and also we had these back in Maseches Shabbos. What exactly is the issue with the beitza shenolda? So we as we mentioned yesterday, it's a muktza problem. It's considered nolad. The Gemara actually points out in Maseches Beitza, and the Gemara here is referencing that there are a number of theoretical issues with a beitza shenolda beyond just the realm of hilchos muktza. For example, the Gemara says that a beitza shenolda could be a problem what's called peros hanoshrin. Peros hanoshrin, the Gemara says, means that there's a concern if, let's say, in other words, we know that you're obviously not allowed to harvest fruit off a tree on Shabbos. If I go and pluck an apple off a tree, that's an isra d'oraisa called kotzer, right? So the Gemara says that there was a gzera d'rabbanan. Let's say I had apples that fell off the tree before Shabbos. So in theory, I should be allowed to eat those apples. There should be nothing wrong with that. But there was a gzera d'rabbanan called peros hanoshrin, that if we allow you to eat the apple apples that fell off the tree this Shabbos, so maybe next Shabbos you'll start plucking apples off the tree directly, which is obviously a problem. So that's a Gzeira Derabanan called Peiros Hanoshe. There was an additional Gzeira Derabanan called Mashkin Shezavu. We know, of course, that you're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos. You can't make fruit juices. That's an Isra of Schita. So Chazal made a Gzeira Derabanan that not only can you not squeeze fruits to make juices, but even, let's say, a fruit started oozing juice and oozing liquid on its own, and it started oozing before Shabbos. You're still not allowed to drink those juices again for the same reason, because we're afraid that the next week you may come to squeeze the fruit directly. So the Gemara in Maseches Beitza connects these two Gzeiros Derabanan of Peiros Hanoshrin and Mashkin Shezavu to potential issues with a Beitza Shenol DeBiyantiv, again, beyond just the regular Hilchos Muktza. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Masna Adam Al HaKalkala Biyantiv Rishon V'Ochla B'Sheni, Hayu Lefanav Shtei Kalkalo Shel Tevel. Let's say a person has two baskets of Tevel in front of him. Omer, and he says the following, Yemayom Chalu Lemachar Kodesh Tehezo Truma Al Zo, Yemayom Kodesh Lemachar Chalim B'Dvarei Kolom B'Korei Ala Hashem, Umanicha, Ulemachar Omer, Yemayom Chal Tehezo Truma Al Zo, Yemayom Kodesh Yem B'Dvarei Kolom B'Korei Ala Hashem B'Ochla Rabbi Yossi Oser. So again, the Gemara is basically just kind of presenting what we already saw before. So on the first day, you make a stipulation and say that if today is Yontif and tomorrow is a weekday, then my declaration is meaningless. But if today is a weekday and tomorrow is Yontif, then I'm doing the Hafrashas Truma and Meiser today. And then you make the same exact stipulation on the following day. Say today, if today is Kodesh and yesterday was Chol, then it's meaningless. And if today is Chol and yesterday was Kodesh, then it's effective. And then you basically declare that produce to be separated. But Rabbi Yossi says that you're not allowed to do that. V'chein ha'yah Rabbi Yossi oser b'shnei yamim tovim shel galios. Not only does Rabbi Yossi forbid this procedure of verbalizing and separating Trumos and Maestros in such a way on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which we already pointed out are slightly different than regular Yontif Sheni because of the Yom HaArichta aspect, but Rabbi Yossi actually thinks that this is also problematic even on a regular Yontif Sheni, even if it's not Rosh Hashanah, even just for a regular Yontif. And again, we're going to come back to this point in a second. The Gemara now has a story. Hahu bar Tavya to Otzalavei Rish Galusa de Itzid b'Yontif Rishon Shel Galios Ishtachet b'Yontif Sheni. There was a deer that was trapped by a non-Jew on the first day of Yontif, and the deer was brought to the house of the Rish Galusa, and the deer was shechted on Yontif Sheni. So the issue here, again, in theory, trapping the animal in and of itself, so that would be called Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. This is a big machlokes that appears in a few places in Shas between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim about what's called Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. So we know, of course, that Ochel Nefesh itself is mutter on Yontif. Right? I can cook on Yontif, I can do anything food related on Yontif. There's a big machlokes in the Gemara. What about preparations for food? And for example, what if my oven breaks? I want to fix my oven on Yontif. Is that mutter? What if I want to trap an animal to shecht it? Right? What if my shechita knife breaks or it gets dull and I want to sharpen it? All of those are preparations for eating, right? So the Gemara has a machlokas about this, and Rabbi Yehuda says that machshirei ochel nefesh are mutter on Yontif. The Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara has a...
But this deal was captured by a Jew.
Correct. But the issue... One second. The reason why I'm mentioning this is to show you that this case is slightly different than what I'm saying now. We actually, ironically, happen to pasquin like Rabbi Yehuda, who generally, you know, we usually follow the Chachamim over Adas Yachid, but Rabbi Yehuda says that actually Machshirei Ochel Nefesh under certain circumstances are mutter on Yontif to do, but the Gemara has a very odd thing. The Gemara says Halacha Ve'in Morinkin, which means that we don't like to publicize the fact that it's mutter to do, because it's going to lead to a zilzul of Yontif. This case is different, not because of the non-Jew. The difference in this case is that the deer was trapped on Yontif Rishon, but shechted on Yontif Sheni. Had the deer been shechted the same day it was trapped, then the story would have been a non-issue, except maybe according to the Chachamim. But according to the way that we seem to paskin, this would have been a non-issue. The only reason why there was even a question about this story was because the shechita happened the following day on Yontif Sheni. So what exactly happened in this story? So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman v'Rav Chista achlu Rav Sheshes lo'acha. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, they ate the deer, but Rav Sheshes refused to eat. So Amar Rav Nachman, my Yavi Leila Rav Sheshes, the Loacha Bistra de Tavia. What are we going to do about Rav Sheshes who's not eating the deer? So Amar Le Rav Sheshes Vehichi Echol. How could I eat the deer? The son Isi Vamrila Isi Tane Vechein Ayer Rabbi Yosi Oser Shnei Yamin Tovim Shel Galios. So he turns around. Rav Sheshes says, "What do you mean? Isn't there a brisa that quotes in the name of Isi? Isi quotes Rabbi Yosi that we just quoted before. Rabbi Yosi says that not only is it a problem, the case of the Beitza Shenolda and the case of separating the Truma and Meiser from the Tevel, in the case of the Eruv Tchumen, not only are those issues on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, they're also problematic on a regular Yontif Sheni that's not Rosh Hashanah, as we just quoted a second ago in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, not true, Amar Rava, Umay Kushya, Dilma Hachi Ka'amar, V'chein Ayah Rabbi Yossi Oser, B'shnei Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah Bagola. So Rava says, maybe that's not at all what Rabbi Yossi meant. Maybe all Rabbi Yossi meant to say was, is that it's usher on Rosh Hashanah, which is a 2 day yontif in Galus. In other words, when he said yontif sheni, in other words, we're used to hearing the term yontif sheni shal Galios to mean yontif sheni, to mean the second day of yontif of any yontif. But maybe what Rabbi Yossi really meant to say was dafka Rosh Hashanah. But the other yontif shenis, maybe in fact he would agree that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't make sense. Yachi shal Galios ba Golami boile. Then why did the Gemara say that? If Rabbi Yossi really meant to just say Rosh Hashanah, so then why did he say Yontif Sheni Shal Galios? He should have said Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah Bagola. That would have been a much more accurate and explicit way of saying that idea. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Amar Rav Asi Umay Kushya Dilma Hachika Amar V'chein Haya Rav Yosi Ose Iser Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Galios K'Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah L'Rabbanan D'Sharu. Maybe what Rav Yosi really meant to say was a kind of a very long-winded way of saying this, is that he treats the 2 days of a regular Yontif the way that the Rabbanan treat the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning that, in other words, everyone agrees that there's a machlokas by Rosh Hashanah. Everyone agrees that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yossi says that it's going to be usher from one day to the next, and the Chachamim say that it's mutter. So the question is, what about a regular Yontif Sheni? What would Rabbi Yossi say about a regular Yontif Sheni? So what the Gemara seems to be saying now is that Rabbi Yossi treats a regular Yontif Sheni the way the Rabbanan treat the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is basically another way of saying that Rabbi Yossi agrees that it's going to be mutter on a normal Yontif Sheni. So if the deer was trapped on the first day of, let's say, the first day of Pesach, you could shecht it and eat it on the second day of Pesach. The only exception to the rule, according to Rabbi Yossi, is when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. So what was the conclusion of the story? Ashkechei Rav Sheshes l'Rabba Bar Shmuel. So Rav Sheshes, after the story, one time encountered Rabba Bar Shmuel, Amar Le, and he said to him, Tani Marmidi B'Kedushos, did you hear anything, did you learn anything in the base measures regarding the status of Kedusha for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, or for 2 days of Yontif? Amar Le, he said, Tanina Moda Rabbi Yossi B'Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Galios. He says, it says in the Brisa that Rabbi Yossi agrees not just by Rosh Hashanah, but also by a regular Yontif Sheni. Meaning, Rabba Bar Shmuel was basically telling Rav Sheshes that everything that you thought in the story, the fact that you refused to eat the deer, you were incorrect, because the only time that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Chachamim is dafka by Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to a regular Yontif Sheni, on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi agrees that if you trap the deer on the first day, you can shecht it and eat it on the second day. So Amar Leis, so Rav Sheshes says to Rabba, Imishkachas lulu tema luhu v'lo midi. Rav Sheshes said almost like tongue in cheek to Rabba Bar Shmuel. He said, if you happen to see Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, remember those were the other two Amoraim in the story, they were the ones who did eat the deer in the Reish Galusa's house. He says, don't tell them about this Brisa. Why? Because they're going to use it as ammunition against me to make fun of me that you know that I wasn't eating the deer. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi lidi di Amar li Amemar. So Amemar told me that the version of the story was actually slightly different than the way we presented it. Hahu bar tavia lav itsude itzid ela michutz latchumasa, says Amemar that we got the facts of the story wrong. It wasn't that the deer was trapped on Yontif Rishon and shechted on Yontif Sheni, but rather the issue was that the deer was brought from beyond the tchum. That was the problem. So what was the machlokas then? Man de achal savar haba b'shvil Yisrael zem mutter Yisrael acher. So the shita that held that you're allowed to eat the deer holds basically that just because a non-Jew does malacha for a particular Jew, that doesn't mean that the item is usher for every single Jew. This is, again, a big topic. We spoke about this back in Masechah Shabbos, the issue of, you know, if a non-Jew does malacha for you and it's clear that he's doing it for a Jew, so then we know that you're not allowed to benefit from that malacha. You have to wait till, you know, a certain amount of time after Shabbos, what's called b'chdei sheyasu, the amount of time that it took the non-Jew to do that malacha, right? So the Gemara basically says that Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, who ate the deer, they assumed that just because the non-Jew trapped the deer, or brought the deer from beyond the tchum for the Reish Galusa, okay, so the Reish Galusa can't eat the deer, but I can eat the deer because it wasn't brought on my behalf. Whereas Rav Sheshes disagreed, and Rav Sheshes said that no, that because the Reish Galusa was the head of the Galus, he was the exilarch, the head of the Jews in Galus, the assumption was that he always invited rabbis over to his house for meals, so it was understood that when the food was caught for the Reish Galusa, it was by extension also being being caught for all the rabbis as well. So that's why Rosh Hashanah thought it would in fact be a problem to eat from this deer. And then the Gemara just asks, but again, the Gemara says, how can you just revise the facts of the story? How can you say that what happened was that the deer came from beyond the Tchum when the Gemara earlier said that Rabba Bar Shmuel explicitly said that the case was where the deer was trapped? So the Gemara says, no, lo hayu dvar me'olam, and that means that in this version of the story, that part of the story wasn't there. That part of the story was deemed to be inaccurate, or it was deemed to be not true. Meaning, the Gemara is basically just saying that these facts at the end of the story were correct. The issue was that the deer came from beyond the Tchum, and the machlokes at hand between Rav Nachman and Rav Chista on the one hand and Rav Sheshes on the other is whether if a non-Jew does malacha for a specific Jew, is that going to be a problem for everyone else, or maybe because he did it for the Reish Galuso represents everybody else, so maybe that should be okay.